Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I am one of your hosts, and I am joined, as always, by... you know what? It's been a while since I've called you a renowned dendrologist, Casey Clapp.
Thank you, Alex. Honestly, my first thought was you forgot my name. I was like, it's Casey, Alex. My name is Casey. I'm right here.
Has it ever happened to you? Somebody tries to introduce you and they forget your name?
Ooh, I don't think so.
It happened once to me and it was so fucking awkward.
Wow. Yeah. Like, were you like on stage?
No, I was performer. I was working with this music engineer I knew from high school. His name's Kevin Hahn.
Yeah.
And so I was working as like his intern basically.
Uh-huh.
And he had a musician come in to record and he said, "Hey, this is..." And then just froze. And I was like, "Hi, I'm Alex."
Well, I have to admit, I have done that lots of times. I'm bad with names often.
Okay.
I also will like have moments where I'm just like, "Yeah, it's my good friend." Oh my God. And I'm just like, my brain, it's like,
sure.
I've known this person for years and I can't remember their name. What has happened?
Somebody whose name you definitely know, but yes. For some reason it doesn't come to you.
For some reason it doesn't come to me. Yeah. That has happened to me multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine it'd be pretty awful.
Being on the other side is pretty, pretty demeaning.
Yeah. It feels, yeah. Which is why I have a lot of stress about it. But you know how sometimes if you have stress about something like that, your body like goes hyper focused on it?
Sure.
That doesn't happen to me. My body still is like, "Oh my gosh, I really hope that doesn't happen, but what's over there?" And then like just moves on and it never quite solves itself.
Well, I pray that you're never the violent victim of this atrocity.
Thank you. I also pray that for you as well. I don't think you should have to deal with that one more time.
It's only happened to me the once. Praise God.
Yes. Of course.
It really slipped out of my mouth.
Yeah. Praise the algorithm.
Yes. Casey, as always, we are here to talk about a tree. Let's see. This is like a high concept episode.
Ooh, you think so? Okay, yeah.
At least from my perspective. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the word perspective is very important here because we're going to be talking about the sweet gum.
That is correct. I appreciate how you said that.
Liquid amber. Hey, liquid amber.
Yeah.
Wow. Liquid amber. Strikaflua.
Wow. Very close.
Strikaflua.
Styraciflua. Styraciflua. All right, we'll go that. That's the Greek translation.
What did you say?
Styraciflua.
Styraciflua.
Yes, liquid amber, styraciflua.
Now, the words liquid amber are in the name of the sweet gum.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
I can only assume that that's on purpose.
It is. The name literally means it has amber within it and it flows from it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it means, I believe styraciflua means flowing from it. So this is liquid amber flows from it.
That's
tree.
Extremely cool.
Isn't it? It's one of those names. It's like I didn't realize this till I looked into it and it turns out it's like so positively accurate where I'm like, wow, that's Incredible. Well done. Very well done.
Liquid amber flows from it.
Yes. That is the name of the tree.
That's wonderful. Yeah, wow. Well, this is a very, I would say this is a one of our, it's high on the list in terms of people requesting.
Yeah. 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 A lot of people want to know our perspectives on it, which is why I thought it would be good to give our perspectives on this tree.
That's right.
Now, you did know this is a high concept phase, so we are wearing Gucci. And this is unreleased, of course. You're not going to find this anywhere else.
You know what? You should be wearing Gucci. I should be wearing Versace.
Yeah, we'll be on other sides of the aisle, as they say. The runway.
I'm wearing Martha Stewart for Kmart.
Hot. I'm wearing Gap 2024.
I think she made like home goods. So I have like a comforter wrapped around me.
That sounds good. Yeah. Which is very nice. I'd be very comfortable. It is kind of a nice, cool comforter style day.
It really is. Side note. I walked outside this morning to go to get a coffee. And if I could have frozen the weather exactly where it was, and it'd be that way forever, I would have.
Wow, what was it?
For me, it was the perfect weather. It was cool.
Cool.
It was a tiny bit breezy.
Tiny bit. Like, just like not even a flutter that you can audibly hear. It's
just an autumnal breeze.
I see, okay.
And it was a tiny bit misty.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Just the littlest bit misty. And after this summer, it felt so good.
Was it a high mist, or were you like inside of a cloud?
It was a high mist, I would say. But it was very dispersed.
I see. That sounds nice.
I wasn't like, my clothes weren't wet when I got home. Yeah.
A dry mist, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds really nice. It was foggy where I was this morning that same time.
Out in the woods, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Christmas tree farm, so I guess technically you could say yes, but no.
That's sort of the Martha Stewart Kmart version of the woods.
Yes, exactly. That's a perfect description. There are little baby deer there all year round. They're very cute. The skunks play with them.
Aww.
It's a nice scene for sure.
I think you're confusing Martha Stewart for Snow White, Casey.
Oh, God. I am. Now that you bring it up, I am. Yeah, 100%. I put all those two in my brain.
Casey, let's imagine that you and I.
Oh, yeah. Where are we walking, Alex?
Well, I know of I'm trying to get away from my apartment more, but I know of a street over here that's paved in sweet gum.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a funny way to put it.
I will say the sidewalk is paved in gumballs, which we'll get to.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
And you and I come across some sweet gum trees. Let's ID this tree.
Oh, I'm so happy that you asked me to ID this tree, Alex. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're very welcome.
I believe this is the tree that is most commonly mistaken for a maple tree.
I get that.
Very, very common. The reason is it is a big tree. It grows up to about 80 feet tall. I think there's some documented at like 150 or something like that. So it's around the 100-foot-ish, a big old tree. Many of them don't live to be big old trees, but those that do are big, old, and grand, quite grand. There are some on Northwest 23rd Avenue, 21st Avenue, over the northwest neighborhood of Portland. They have a lot of big ones on it. They're really spectacular.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the thing is, though, as you approach this tree, it's got a generally pyramidal form. Unlike most broadleaf trees that have what we call a decurrent growth form, where it comes up and out.
Right.
This has an excurrent growth form. So it has a single leader with branches that come off of it. So it actually has a form that's more analogous to a conifer or a pine tree or something like that.
Interesting.
Yes. Just a little bit different. Kind of shirks that stereotype right off the bat. The other thing you'll notice as you're walking through is the canopy is dense, but dense in a way that is like has depth to it, which is kind of a weird thing to kind of imagine. Instead of having like a canopy of, say, a Norway maple has a big globe, this big poofy cloud of a canopy, where it has like some layers, but when you look at it, you don't really see into it very much. It looks like there's kind of a nice undulating smooth pattern you could draw around the entire outside.
Okay.
The sweet gum, everything feels more sharp and like it comes out at you a little bit. So when you're looking at the canopy goes a little bit deeper, where it's not just like a nice fluid outer sort of shell looking thing. It's more like it has a depth texturedness to it.
Do you think that has to do with its morphology as like a conifer looking kind of tree?
You know, I don't think so. Not the coniferness part of it. I think it's more that as you're looking at it, the leaves and the way that they grow, because they're five-pointed or seven-pointed stars mm-hmm. that start kind of, they all go up. So it's like to the left and right, then a little bit higher, then a little bit higher with one in the middle. So they're not stars in, you know, a full, you know, Star of David sort of way.
Sure.
So because they have all those points, they kind of look like they come out at you a little bit, and they're like way more 3D than a lot of other leaves that I usually see.
Interesting.
And they're not, they're kind of a shaggy tree. So it's not so much that growth form, more as the small morphology of the branches at the very, very tips.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just my perspective. This is just how I see it.
Sure.
They have that depth is the only thing I can say of it.
Well, today, Casey, if there's one theme for this episode, it's perspective.
Your cones are your own.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean your cones aren't stupid.
Wow.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I take it back, but it was fun. It's fun to fire that one across the bow just to get everyone primed for the controversy we're about to step into. You're
too kind to even be fakely mean.
Yeah, I just do that in private where no one's listening or recording me.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
I do it in the mirror, but I don't do it to anybody else.
Well, gosh. All right. You take a lot of abuse in that mirror, Alex. That's harsh.
That's sad. All right, Casey, let's talk bark. Let's get back on track.
Well, so the other thing with the leaves, I should note, they are serrated. So they have these five points that come out, and then they have these little tiny serrations, and they look really like a star. The two lobes coming down on the left and right of the petiole mm-hmm. are kind of short. The two arms that kind of come out, like that you would think would be hands, those are a little bit longer. And then the main one that you would look at and be like, oh, that's a fun star from like Super Mario with like a face or something.
Yeah.
That one is really, really long and tall. So they have like this little tiny legs, big arms, and then a big tall head.
As opposed to like a maple leaf might be more uniform.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And they're alternately arranged on the leaf and or on the twig. And this is really important. This is the thing you need to look for. If you're walking through and someone's like, yeah, check out this maple tree, look at it closely. Maples, along with ashes and dogwoods and horse chestnuts, their leaves are oppositely arranged along that twig. The sweet gum is alternately arranged along the twig. And that is how you're going to tell. So if someone ever is challenging you or you're challenging them, make sure to get your facts straight. Look for that. If you see one or the other, it is one or the other. There are no maples, for instance, that mm-hmm. are alternate, nor sweet gums that are opposite.
Okay. So, I love a dependable ID characteristic.
Yeah, isn't it? It's really good. Okay, now you asked about the bark. This is really great. So the bark, I actually really think is some pretty spectacular bark. It starts off kind of smooth, which is a couple little cracks in it. But then as it gets older and bigger, it maintains its kind of gray character, its uniformness. But the cracks become bigger and deeper and a little bit longer where, you know, if you have an iceberg developing and at first it's a bunch of little icebergs kind of right next to each other, like ice on the sheet. On like a top layer of ocean.
Okay.
And then they kind of start bumping together, then all of a sudden they just kind of stay together and then they become bigger plates. That's kind of what this does. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that a good visual?
I think so. Okay. Like a iceberg as in like a big plate, not like a Titanic like cartoon iceberg.
Exactly. More like water ice forming on a lake or in an ocean or something like that.
Okay. I see. You
know, as it's changing seasons.
So they come together as it ages?
It kind of seems like that. Yeah, where you would have a bunch of little ones that develop, and then by the time the tree is aged, all those little ones look like they're bigger.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if that's 100% the case. It doesn't make a lot of sense other than maybe this one ridged line that develops ends up kind of moving over and it develops underneath another one. So then that ridge line gets pushed up and then kind of becomes a flattened plate. I'm not really sure, but that's how I've always imagined it.
That is just your perspective.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. The other fun thing about the bark on the sweet gum is often they will have little new stems that are perfectly rounded, but just as often, they will have these corky wings that grow down them. So you'll have a twig coming out, but it will have like a plus sign's worth of like cork coming out that looks really weird. So they have these corked wings that develop on these young twigs. And okay. They kind of, as the twigs grow, they kind of disappear and you just get kind of normal, kind of corky bark at the end of it. But it's really interesting. There's some elms that do this and a couple other species that grow these really wild wings where it's just like, for whatever reason, the bark in that one section just kind of shoots out a very, very thin literal wing of tissue of bark that comes out. Who knows why?
That's very interesting. That's one of those weird nature things.
It is. Yeah, that's a perfect description. This tree is a weird nature thing in all of its stuff going on with it.
We, of course, mean that with respect.
Yes, respect. So the other big thing that everyone's probably going to notice about this tree, depending on the time of year, will be the fruit. Alex, I know you're familiar with the fruit.
Oh my God, the dreaded gumball.
The dreaded gumball. What does this one taste like? Oh, it tastes like what? It tastes like what?
Is that fruit? What is that?
That was me chewing on one of these gumballs and really realizing that it's not a delicious gum flavored ball of candy.
You know what?
In fact, a small woody capsule.
I just edited out a big thing about us talking about Adam Sandler movies. I thought you were referencing an Adam Sandler movie.
Oh no, not the case.
You know what they taste like to me?
What?
Broken dog ankles.
Oh, you know, that's a weird taste, Alex. I've never tasted a broken dog ankle, but
I would take my elderly dog Solo, rest in peace, on walks. We would go down this. I would avoid this sidewalk, but if we had to walk through the sidewalk,
yeah,
you know, I'd try to not have him step on these gumballs. But of course, dogs will go where dogs will go.
As they do.
He would walk into the grass and step on gumballs, and his little ankles would buckle under the gumballs. God,
yeah, they're uncomfortable and they're spinny.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're spiky and they're big and round and uncomfortable to step on.
Yeah, they've got it all in the negative section.
Oh man,
hey. Good for the tree, though. I don't know why this is what it has evolved to do.
Yeah.
Apparently, it works. To me, it feels like it's way too much work because it drops those little things. They just like drop out these little seeds that come out of it. There are a bunch of capsules all aggregated together.
Okay.
And then the seeds just kind of fall out. There's no real good reason for it. Like, I don't know why it puts so much effort into making such a spiky ball. For no good reason. And on top of this, Alex, it's not even a spike that'll like hurt you. If you pick it up, you can just squeeze it. Like it's not
right.
It's not like a spike that's like, get off of me with any sort of force or authority.
Yeah, I don't think it could really keep anything away.
I don't think so, yeah.
It's just like a flimsy little piece of paper spike.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me.
I wonder if it's like partway through an evolution.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
It used to be like hard as nails.
Yeah, and now it's just like, meh.
And it's on its way to being perfectly smooth, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's going the opposite way. Usually things would start that way, and then they would become less, or
right.
I'm sorry, they would start not smooth.
Yes.
Okay, geez. They would start smooth, then need to fight away from something,
yes.
And they would become more armed, if you will.
Maybe that also happened. I mean, this, you know,
okay.
Time's a flat circle, my man.
Time is a flat circle. Look at us go. That is the big thing about this tree. It grows also in swamps, and it lets out all of these little gumballs all over the place.
Yeah.
That apparently don't do anything, but it just piss people off. That's like the one thing they're very good at.
Mm-hmm.
Although, like I said, they piss people off in a way that's kind of like just annoying. Like if you are sweeping up a chestnut fruit from Castanea, the normal chestnuts, they will hurt you. They are so spiky and so uncomfortable.
Oh.
They physically will poke your skin and you'd be like, I'm never touching that again.
Okay.
Although the thing is, inside of that is a big nut that we like to eat. So,
now we're
getting somewhere. Your theory, I think, is being proven actively.
Is it?
Yeah, because we don't care about the seeds in this, so why does it need the protection? So it's actively becoming less protected.
That's what I'm saying.
There you go. Okay, you got your finger on a pulse here. So it grows in swamps. It's from the southeastern United States, and we call it the sweet gum because it has, if you hack into it, it produces this certain kind of sap that people like. In fact, they used to tap it for actual syrup. This was a whole use for it at one point in time.
The titular liquid amber.
Exactly. And the where it grows in these swamps generally gets a very small, very low root system, or very high, I guess I should say. Mm. It doesn't grow big, nice, deep roots that are under the ground. They usually have surface roots that are better at getting oxygen at the top of these bottomland areas. If there is nice, well-drained soil and they have enough room, they will kind of go down further.
Oh, interesting.
But they've developed so that they don't need to. They can grow right on the top surface and just kind of chill there, because that's where you get more oxygen. The further down you go, the more the soils are devoid of oxygen, which is important for respiration, of course.
So I'm assuming that because these root systems are quite shallow, that mm-hmm. these trees don't stand up to the elements very well?
Well, I think they do. That's actually kind of the thing. They're a real tough tree.
Oh.
They stand up to the elements. They have, you know, nice tough bark. They don't want to grow too high in terms of elevation and latitude. As soon as it starts getting very cold, they kind of drop off. But interestingly, the sweet gum that we're talking about grows natively through down into Mexico and Guatemala.
Whoa!
So it really does like to just find these perfect habitats, and there's just these little disjunct populations all the way down there.
Wow.
Crazy. I had no idea.
So it's not like one continuous thing. It's yes. like here and there.
Exactly. Yeah, it grows here, grows there. But I'm sure it has like a continuous strip of like area that you could find it, but it's not like a contiguous forest of sweet gum.
Right.
You know? Yeah, but it also, even if it is hurt, it will sprout a lot. It'll sprout new sprouts from the base. It'll sprout new sprouts from the roots. If
oh,
you
wow.
cut it down, it will resprout again from there. It is a tree that it just kind of is really good at living in, specifically in these lowland, bottomland areas.
Very willow-esque, no?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's a hard-to-kill tree. I think that's perfect, yeah. Willow's also very hard to kill. You can do anything to them, and they'll be like, but what about this sprout?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, all right, you're fine.
Similar environments, too, or habitats?
Yeah, I would say the willows tend to be in even wetter conditions.
Okay.
Where the willows will actively be next to water, whereas the sweet gum will do well in the bottomland areas that don't necessarily have water all the time, mm-hmm. but have water a bunch of the time.
Is Willamette Valley considered a bottomland?
I think it would have been before we made it into a bunch of farmland. Because the Willamette Valley used to flood. It was a wet prairie. So every year, whenever we'd have a bunch of rain, everything would kind of flood and become like a really squishy kind of wetland area.
Hmm.
And then it would dry out, but it was this whole big long prairie. Yeah. So I think, yeah, this would be the sweet gum. If it was native to this area, it would dig it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Casey, we have so much more to say about this tree. Should we set this premise up?
No.
More Completely Arbitrary after the break. We'll be right back. Casey.
Hi, Alex.
You know something about me?
I do.
And you do know this, that I love to be cozy.
Yes, that is very true. Unfortunately, I have to get you out of your bed to do work. You know, because our studio here is small.
Yeah, Casey physically drags me out of bed every morning. And you know what?
Slap a pair of headphones on.
And you know what I'm sleeping on, Casey?
What are you sleeping on today, Alex?
My brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
Oh, Alex, I heard about this.
And you know what I'm sleeping in?
What?
My brand new Cozy Earth jogger set.
Ooh, hold on. Let me get a feel of that. Not your sheet. I'm getting my own sheet.
That's right.
Ooh, this is smooth.
Casey is wrapped in his new Cozy Earth bedding. Now, Casey just returned from Italy.
Just got back.
Land of soft fabrics.
Exactly.
And he has waiting for him products from our brand new sponsor, Cozy Earth. Casey, what do you think?
This is incredible. I don't think I've ever felt something so soft and so, like, I don't know. It feels silky and smooth and it looks beautiful.
It's true, Casey. And you know what? I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth clothing.
Well, Alex, have you noticed anything about your sleep?
I have been sleeping so well. And here are some things I love about sleeping in my Cozy Earth bedding and my Cozy Earth clothes.
Yeah.
This is no longer officially an ad. This is just me talking.
Hey, let everyone just come on in. Just come on in here.
Casey, it is temperature regulating, so I no longer have any problems with getting too warm, getting too cool, having to get up and shut the window, having to get up and open the window, turn the heat on, turn the heat off. I sleep through the night. Soon I'll be eating solid foods. And I have such a good time doing it. Casey, I know you've been traveling, you've been flying, you've been not sleeping in your own bed. I cannot tell you how excited I am for you to try this brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
I cannot tell you how much I agree. Just feeling it, I'm essentially swaddled in a sheet right now, Alex.
That's right,
and
you are.
I cannot tell you how excited. I'm going to wash this. I'm going to throw it on my bed today.
Hell yeah.
So if you want to be as cozy as Alex and I, then go to CozyEarth.com and after you purchase, enter the promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, to get 35% off. That's huge.
And Casey, how about this? All of Cozy Earth's products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. I don't have that kind of warranty on my tires.
I don't have that kind of warranty on anything.
So go to CozyEarth.com and use promo code TREES for 35% off. Now go and get cozy.
Yeah, you go get cozy now.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we're talking the sweet gum, liquid amber.
Styraciflua, Alex.
Styraciflua.
I look up and I see you pointing at me. That was my cue to say styraciflua.
Yeah, I gave you a physical cue.
Yes, yes. Which is a fun one to spell. I had to learn how to spell this one. Is a young classificist. Classifier.
Oh yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
For a second I thought you were talking about the word cue.
Oh, what? No.
Yeah, well.
Ah, cool.
I was wrong. Casey, here's the dealio. And to everybody listening.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
We decided last week we wanted to do the sweet gum.
Yeah.
For an episode.
That's right.
Sounds good. Sounds great.
Thumbs up.
Uh-huh. I started doing some Hacrosan's homegrown trivia research.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I went onto our project management software that we use to upload my findings.
Yes.
And I read through what you have written there.
Yep.
For what you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, and I typed it out so that you could see it.
I did. I saw that.
Casey, I think we're overlapping a lot.
Exactly.
Anything that I would have to say in my homegrown trivia that is of import or interest to me has been covered in your findings.
Exactly. I also found there was a lot of things about this tree that I didn't necessarily know.
Okay. Ditto.
Yeah. Wow.
And we said, well, that does not a show make.
It does not make a show.
However, if we flip it on its head, it is a show can make.
Thank you for flipping that on its head, Alex. You're right. This is what we came up with. Essentially, I was going through, we were reading it. I had come up with a bunch of things from the arboricultural perspective that I have developed over the years.
Yes.
Many of you out there listening are also arboriculture professionals, and you will have probably experienced many of these things and share a similar opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this other side of stuff that you were finding, that I was finding, that we put in here that was like, huh, this is not an arboricultural perspective, and it actually makes this tree a little bit cooler, more interesting than what we were giving it credit for. So
right, you were set up to have kind of a scathing review episode.
Yes,
I was set up to have like a praising review episode.
Yeah, we're like, oh, this is actually some very interesting things. That,
yes,
yeah, exactly.
And then we sort of found this balance, and
thus we had a show. But the show,
a show does it make,
Alex.
Mm-hmm.
The show, though, that you came up with versus what I came up with, it ended up being a little bit different. The first thing that I thought it was, we need to do a point-counterpoint here.
Yes.
I want to go through each one of these points, each one of these things that we found about this tree, mm-hmm. and if not debate them, at least provide a counterpoint to them in any which regard. So we're going to try that out.
Yes, in an effort to provide two balanced perspectives, exactly. or two bipolar perspectives to create a balanced perspective, rather. We're doing a count, a point counterpoint.
Precisely.
A count pointer count.
Correct. Well pointed.
Thank you. I imagine us sitting kind of in armchairs across from each other. Every time I give a cultural perspective point about this tree,
you have to look directly at the camera when you say it.
Yes, but then after I do that, I take a little bead and I put it on a scale, on my side of a scale, right?
Yes, exactly.
You give one, you put a little bead on your side of the scale. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're sweet gum seeds.
I was going to say, or they could be beads of the dried sap.
Oh, perfect.
Set those down.
Yes. And instead of like a blind, you know, justice like they have,
yeah,
like a blind, it's like a tree with arms outstretched,
right? And then the more you put on one side, now, so if I have more points on my side, mm-hmm. that would be justice leans towards me,
right?
Versus on your side, it would lean towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And here we are trying to balance tree justice to really give this tree a fair shake.
Yeah, a fair shake is exactly what we're getting. So. Yeah. May the tree in question take the stand. Liquid Ambar Styraciflua, if that is your real name.
Is that my character? Do I need to do a voice?
No. That's the, if we are the, yes. The deciders on either side, then this tree's on, it's on the stand. We're deciding its fate right here.
Yes.
In golden cone. Scales.
Yes.
So I think this is what we're doing.
It's the golden cone scale.
We're doing this on the golden cone scale. I will put my golden cones on this side. Alex, you put your golden cones on that side. And we're going to put Croson's homegrown trivia against Casey's homegrown developed hatred.
Mm.
We'll see which one's more powerful.
That really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, sure does.
We
That's
should have
really
talked
easy.
About this.
All right. I'm
okay,
sorry.
So I will be providing ecological and cultural points.
Yes.
You will be providing arboricultural and silvicultural points.
Exactly.
And with that, Casey, I take my little mallet
mm-hmm.
and I ring the bell. It's like a boxing bell.
Yeah,
I think.
That's what I was imagining. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
We're going to have to stop halfway through, like after 3 minutes. We're going to have to take a break, get some water, fix our wounds, and then come back.
Who do you have in your corner? You get to choose one representative.
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't even thought about this.
Casey's thinking.
David Attenborough.
Wow.
Yeah. You would think that he would be on your side, but you know what?
You got him first.
Yeah. mainly, I just want to take any one from you. That way, I can make sure I have that.
Okay,
it's a pretty cutthroat competition.
That's extremely cutthroat. Jesus.
Honestly, David, I don't care what you have to say. I just don't want you to say it to Alex. Shut up.
I would have David of David and Goliath.
Oh,
because that's who I am embodying in this fight.
Yeah. Do you want to know? I changed my answer. I want Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I need that good lawyer perspective.
I see.
Yeah.
I want the guy who represented OJ.
The Kardashian. Okay. Yeah. The Kardashian OG. Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, perfect.
All right, Case. I will start, eh?
I think that sounds like a good idea.
Okay, my first point is that the sweet gum, it grows very well in not well places, in places that are unwell.
I see, okay.
Ecologically.
It's a fixer of communities.
It's a fixer of communities. You know how much I love the willow?
Yes.
This is my second time comparing it to the willow. Maybe this isn't totally on base, but...
I think it is.
I love any tree that gives, that has, what do we call altruism in
high altruism.
Yes. Yeah. High altruism in this tree that gives back to the environment around it, does not leech, but takes and gives.
Yes, that is true. And like, because its roots, it grows out and can live in these areas. It sprouts. And so it creates an ecosystem where perhaps an ecosystem was not very
that's
quickly.
Right.
Okay. I think that's very good.
It's not just a big stem in the ground. It's a stem in the ground with you know, annexes.
There you go. All right. I see your point, Alex.
That's one point.
However, I would counter that this tree has developed these patterns in what is a wild environment. Now, you take this tree into the civilized environment of a modern-day city, mm-hmm. and you plant it in the planter strip where a modern tree should be able to grow.
I see.
And the sweet gum will burst forth like a maniac.
Is this like your 19th century presidential debate voice?
Hey, Alex, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just talking normally. What do you mean? Anyway.
Oh, my Lord.
You plant a sweet gum tree, and the sweet gum tree will put its roots out, its shallow roots, and it will lift up our sidewalk. Board certified placed sidewalk.
I can't focus on what you're saying.
All right, all right. You got to see through it.
The tree fucks up sidewalks is
it
what you're
does,
saying.
It does, okay. Yes. So all these things that you noted, it grows right. in rough environments. The streetscape is a rough environment, to say the least. So you'd think, man, it'll do very well in a rough environment. And it does, but it doesn't do well in the environment. It changes it. So if you plant a sweet gum tree and you put cement next to it, it will destroy that cement.
Does a little too well in that environment.
It does a little too well, yeah.
Wow.
It has these surface roots that we talked about that will grow underneath a sidewalk and then just, I mean, throw it up. It's Jeez. Not just like, oh, it's kind of bent a little bit. It will actively push it up and create space that things can live underneath the sidewalk. It's insane. I don't think I've seen any tree that is quite so extraordinary. Other than maybe a tree of heaven, maybe a paulownia, like these really fast-growing, semi-invasive trees.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet gums are kind of fast-growing, not invasive at all, but will absolutely destroy anything. They'll break. They'll go under curbs and bend them out. They will find pipes and, well, okay. Nah. If there's a pipe that is leaking, it will find it and exploit it and destroy it.
I think this is a positive thing.
Oh, interesting. Using my own points against me.
I take your amber bead and I put it on my side.
All right. 2-1. 2-1. I see.
You want to play dirty, my friend?
David, come on. Help me out here. What are you doing?
All right. Fair point, Casey. Fair point. Fair counterpoint. Here's my next one. The sweet gum generates a lot of happiness for a lot of people. Maybe that's... just go with me. But it also regenerates. Mm.
Wow.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it dumb if I go and nod my head to my own point?
Not at all.
Is that what good lawyers do?
Yeah, because then it makes me want to do the same thing.
Yes,
and then all of a sudden I'm agreeing with
That's
you.
That's right.
I feel foolish.
They walk up to the jury and they do it right in their faces, and everybody goes,
"Don't you agree?" Mm-hmm.
I love a tree that grows fast.
Okay,
I don't love the tree of heaven. I know that's an incredibly fast grower.
Yes,
not a fan. But I love a tree that grows fast. And says, you know what? I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Wow.
And shoots them roots and shoots them shoots.
Jeez.
I love that. And how about this case? It can be harvested for wood products.
Okay.
Paper pulp.
I understand.
Plywood. Particle board, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Generally.
It can be harvested.
Uh-huh.
Regrown very quickly. Good for paper products.
I see.
Good for... your cheap, fast woods, your plywoods.
So what you're saying is that this is a tree that can feed the industrial complex within which it grows, and it is not a complete environmental disaster.
That's why I love it, Casey.
I see, Alex. I see. Your love comes through now.
Commerce without corruption.
Commerce without corruption. That's what the sweet gum means to me.
That's my 19th century presidential debate slogan. Yeah.
All right. Well, Alex, I see your point, and I counter saying, but it's such low quality.
Oh.
Now, you also have...
Have you just constructed this whole thing so that you can win some sort of imaginary game, Casey?
Alex, I take offense to the point that you think this is some kind of kangaroo court. Now, where was I before I was so rudely interrupted?
Can I change lawyers? I want Bob Loblaw.
Okay. The paper, the pulpwood, it's fine. It's great. It grows up. But have you ever tried to build a house with sweet gum wood? Have you ever tried to?
Well, that's not what it's for.
Exactly, but it takes up the space of where we can grow trees.
Oh, brother.
This is the silvicultural argument where the sweet gum, you come through.
What a farce.
You go cut some trees down. Mm. And what comes back when you're trying to regenerate your forest with, say, pines or oaks or hemlocks or maybe not hemlocks, actually, but hickories, things like that.
Sweet gum.
Sweet gum. Mm-hmm. It's a scourge. It's like
first generation.
Yeah, and then if you cut a sweet gum to get out of the way, then it has 17 new generations that come up from it.
Yeah.
And they beat all the rest of the trees. So you're like, man, I really wish I could plant a maple here. And the sweet gum's like, yeah, me too.
Are they like invasive?
No, they're just very good at growing where they grow.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all in balance. There's no like, you know, scourge of sweet gum in terms of an ecological sense.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to grow, say, pines or something like that, the sweet gum will outcompete them at the young age way quicker.
Interesting.
So it makes it difficult to have a higher quality grown wood at the same time. And as we all know, sweet gum is, as a wood, kind of boring. I believe that's a note that I'm reading that you wrote very specifically.
Oh, okay. Well, no, don't use my words against me here.
Now, Alex, is this your email signature at the bottom of this? Yes, that's what I thought.
Look at the text message right before it.
I'm sorry. That is not what we're here to do today. Anyway,
I need to defend myself.
Sorry.
You can't just move on.
Okay, I'll take a seat.
I referenced the wood database.
Yes.
wood-database.com.
Always go.
And basically the wood is kind of a dud in terms yeah. of in terms of the breadth of things you can make with it.
Very fair.
However, for a cheap wood that'll make cheap paper, yeah. Sure.
Okay. I think that's very fair. And I think that's probably its highest mark.
But you can't say, oh, I can't make an ornate bed frame with it, so it's trash.
I didn't say that.
I'm putting those words in your mouth.
How dare you, Alex?
Bob, get him.
All right. Okay. All right. I see your point. You've made a counterpoint, and I've made a counterpoint to each point. Alex, what's your third argument?
Casey, I moved to the medicinal uses of the sweet gum.
Oh, interesting transition, Alex.
This is sort of an all-timer, I think. Mm-hmm. This is a hall of an arboretum of famer.
Oh.
In terms of the medicinal properties.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I don't know if, yeah, I'll
check my information.
In secret, I say, that's not really true. It's kind of true.
Okay. Well, what do you mean?
In this kangaroo court, I would certainly puff it up.
Objection! You can't just let him call your court just a kangaroo court.
Casey, traditional North American indigenous medicine.
Mm-hmm.
The resin is the big bad here.
Yeah, that's true.
The inner bark, both used. Hey, you know I love this, Casey. Used to treat diarrhea.
Yeah, everyone loves good diarrhea treatment. I have to admit.
As somebody with IBS, I'm already in big favor of this tree. Topically, it can be used as a salve, wounds, skin irritation. I do wonder, you know, if you have a wound,
yeah.
Is it sort of like using rubber cement or like super glue?
Ooh, I don't think so. I think it's more of like an antiseptic, antibacterial property.
Okay, so you're not using the sticky gum to close the wound shut.
Yes, I don't think so. That might be a nice, convenient sort of trait.
Sure.
But I think it's more that if you put it on there, it helps it heal because, of course, if a tree gets wounded, mm-hmm. then it sends out its sap, and its sap will help get rid of any bacteria or fungi or something that's trying to get into the tree.
Oh, wow.
So if you take that same stuff and you put it on your skin when you get a wound, it will also help to keep that away because it has these properties that help defend itself that you are now using to defend yourself.
Very interesting, Casey. Casey, I like this part a lot. The Cherokee and other tribes will use this resin to calm nervousness.
Interesting.
When drink as a tea.
Gotcha.
Which sounds good to me. Here's the big one, Case.
Okay, this is your star witness.
Yes, this is my that's right.
Your Ken star witness.
I don't know enough about court. It makes storax.
Yes.
What is storax, you say? Well, let me pull a definition off the top of my head. It's a natural resin isolated from the wounded bark of the sweet gum.
That's exactly right. And I think it also comes with another European species, I think, as well.
Yeah, the Orientalis.
Yes, gotcha.
It's from Asia Minor. I sounded like Dr. Evil there. Asia Minor.
That's where it comes from.
Okay, Alex. So, Casey, what is storax used for? What is it?
You know, this is actually kind of an interesting question. It's not very clear that it does a very specific thing.
Okay.
But it is used for a billion other little things. Like, it's been used in perfumes, and it would be something that you would put as an additive in a candle or a smoke or something like that, incense kind of thing.
Okay, so it's a good smelling thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's really good smelling, and it's been used for like 1,000 different things from like Aristotle's time, where they would also like, you would chew it and it kind of calm your nervousness. The tribes of people in the North America would do that a lot. They'd mix it with strawberry bush, which is Arbutus and Nudo, and you would eat that, and it would be kind of like this. The thing that I read said, of an unknown desire. They basically like,
wow.
They would do this. Nobody knows what it actually tasted like, but we know that they would use it. So it had these probably other antiseptic kind of properties. So if you ate it, it probably helped like clean your teeth and like, you know, give you fresh breath and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Kill the bacteria that would be mingling within your gums.
Sort of used it in a chewing gum way.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, and it also would be used as a perfume, and it would be drank and added to things. So I bet you it was more on the way of like an digestif or aperitif, where you would like add it to this tea and then you drink it and like, what are you drinking? Oh, it's a storax tea from the liquid amber tree.
Good for digestion and mood.
Yeah, exactly. And
hysterics.
And hysterics. Ah, take this, you're going crazy. Yeah, and you just drink a little bit of this tea.
Drink this tea and you won't faint on any couches. Well, Casey, that is sort of my...
Jesus. Just so the record shows, this is an act. He's not actually sick, okay?
I have a ketchup packet in my palm.
He's just trying to get a bunch of people on your side with sympathy.
Now, I may be a sick man, but... Casey, that was my sort of medicinal point.
Okay.
I don't know how you're going to be counter to this, but it should be good.
Well... Alex, I'm glad you brought this up. And I think the big thing that I really want to note about this is that this tree also is a tree that is not used for that while planted in the urban environment. Therefore, that's invalid.
Oh, brother. Your Honor.
Okay, Alex, you're right. I have no counter to that.
Well, of course.
That's a good point.
Of course.
It's like essentially a medicated candy.
Yeah, yummy.
That's pretty great. And you used to make maple syrup out of it. That's pretty, I guess, I'm sorry. Sweet gum syrup out of it.
Yes.
Pardon me. Quick side note. Hi, everyone. This is Casey here.
Oh, here we go.
Could you send us some sweet gum syrup? We have not taken a shot of any syrup this entire year, and we would like to.
I miss the old days of taking syrup shots with you.
One of our fungal associates, Alex, they sent us a black walnut syrup.
Yes, I still have it in my fridge. I use it, somewhat infrequently when I make pancakes.
I mean, it's very strong, so it's like you got to be ready for it, you know?
It's really good, but it is a flavor punch.
Yes, so we're looking for... if anyone has happened to be tapping a sweet gum and they want to send it our way, you know, ask us, we'll send you our address.
Casey, my next point is something I appreciate a lot, which is aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
And I like when things are pretty. Fall color. Fall is just around the corner. It's basically here.
Okay.
But the leaves changing is just around the color. In fact, looking out at the dogwood here, I can see a few leaves are starting to change.
Yep, I saw that.
I love sweet gum in the fall.
Okay.
There is a sort of brilliant, like, you know, in like photo filter apps, you can like turn up the brilliance.
Ooh, yeah.
The sweet gum looks outstanding in the fall. has sort of this ombre effect when the leaves are kind of half changed. Oh. They're deep, like in the same leaf, you'll find deep, shiny reds,
yeah,
deep, rich oranges, bright yellows. I guess maybe many trees do this, but
actually, the sweet gum is in a league of its own. It has like some of the most darkest, deepest purples of any tree. And I think what sets it apart, there are trees that have purple leaves. There are trees that have red leaves. There are trees that have orange and yellow leaves. The sweet gum has all of them.
Yeah.
Almost all of them at the same time on one tree. In a way that doesn't look like kind of, you know, a kid took a bunch of crayons and like colored and you're like, oh, well, it doesn't look that good. This is like the kid's an artist and painted it as best as anyone could.
Yeah.
While you're looking up at these gorgeous leaves, these mm-hmm. leaves of many colors, these leaves that in Oregon, I'll admit, we don't have a lot of fall color in our native flora.
Uh-huh.
But of the planted
really?
Trees.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of evergreens and like yellow browns.
Yeah.
Thanks, Oregon white oak. Alex, while you're looking up at these leaves, let me remind you that the same time of year, you are breaking dogs' ankles. Because every single fall, the little gumballs flutter down like bowling balls out of an airplane.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
They are everywhere.
There's like a million of them.
They're a million, and they don't, they're like so woody, they don't decompose in like an easy way. Like a maple samara hits the ground, it'll kind of sit there for a little while, then it'll kind of go away.
Right.
The gumballs, on the other hand, will actively sit there and resist decomposition.
It's almost like a cone, huh?
It is. It is. Yeah, totally. That's very fair. It's woody like a cone.
Yeah.
It is an aggregate of little things that have a bunch of different little seeds in it. So a cone. I would say that that's fine. It's all good and well from afar. But if you're trying to interact with a sweet gum right up close, you're going to be sorely, sorely disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean that literally if you're walking barefoot.
Sure. Fair point, Case.
Alex.
Fair counterpoint.
Fair point to you as well. I wanted to take a moment to commend you on having, you know, presented your arguments very well.
Well, I have one more, Casey.
Alex. Wait, we don't have this paperwork. Where is this? Did you present this to the defense?
If you'll bring in my golden case.
What?
The guy walks down the aisle.
Yeah, he's doing it.
But it's like it's a man in like a black bodysuit.
Yeah, and the case is clearly handcuffed to him.
Mm.
Okay, what is this,
Alex? I take the case, I shoot him in the head. He's seen too much.
He's seen too much.
Casey, usually when we talk about a tree that grows very prolifically.
I understand.
Like a tree that takes up a lot of space geographically.
Yes.
We are talking longitude. It's usually like, this grows all the way from, you know, this continent. Yeah. And you'll also find them on that continent.
I see.
I don't know if that's explicitly true.
Sure, yeah, there are some.
Yeah.
The common juniper.
But usually these patterns grow sort of horizontally across the world.
I see what you're saying.
I think it's really cool that the sweet gum, sweetest of gums, grows latitudinally quite well. Am I using I always mix up latitude and longitude.
Yes, I think you are. The latitudes go up and down. The
like
longitudes are elsewhere.
Are long.
So you're saying that this tree grows from the southeastern United States all the way down to Guatemala.
That is what I'm saying. But yeah, so that doesn't just mean, and I'm of course giving cultural benefits here. That doesn't just mean that it's a good grower across multiple landscapes.
Yes.
But that it is culturally important to countless people up and down broad swath of land. I think that's very cool.
All right.
I feel like these things are usually a little more localized.
Yeah, right. There's like this one tree in this one area.
Yes.
Yeah, I see. As opposed to multiple peoples across to multiple places. I think corn is another really good example where everyone from the Incas all the way up to the native peoples of New England all grew corn in a similar way.
Yeah.
Very, very curious. Good point, Alex. I think that's a well-founded point. I have a counterpoint of my own. Though this tree is able to grow everywhere, and it does have its large natural range, it is a cosmopolitan tree of the Americas, all fine and well. Does that mean, though, that we should be taking this tree and planting it elsewhere, perhaps longitudinally different places? Let me give you an example. Portland, Oregon.
Oh, you think that the sweet gum should not be grown in Portland?
I may give a wider example and say maybe it shouldn't be grown anywhere.
Planted anywhere.
Correct. Thank you. I'm sorry. Correct the record.
I guess there's no real difference.
Yeah, I guess.
They both imply human interaction.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, as long as a human plants it and then it grows.
Right.
Outside of its native area. This is my argument, Alex. It is a tree that is somehow, in certain circles, mostly those that have people hanging out with trees, strange bedfellows, people who also hate trees because they break up the sidewalk. Usually those two people are kind of on the opposite sides of the coin.
Somewhere. Strange bedfellows.
Yes, have you not heard this term?
I've never heard this term.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's does it make sense?
Yeah, like odd couple.
Exactly, yeah, okay. Yeah. It's like, why are you two making the same argument? Usually you're on opposite sides of the coin.
I see.
So, Alex, in this case, universally scorned amongst these people. Nobody ever wants a sweet gum planted near their house because it destroys their lawn. It destroys the sidewalk. It will break the curb in front of their house. People who are tree people don't want it planted because, A, it's just not that fun to climb. It's got brittle wood, and it destroys sidewalks, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, this tree is a mess, and I'm tired of arguing for it. I want them to go away and have other trees be planted that are better suited for this environment.
I see.
So how is it that I can also, in the next breath, say that this tree is overplanted? I don't understand it. Why are there so many if it's universally scorned by these ilks, these people? I don't get it.
That is the big paradox of this tree.
And I think it goes as the final nail in the coffin of why this tree should have a low cone score. Because, in my opinion, this is a tree that can do everything, and we have enabled it to do everything. It's taken advantage of being enabled, and now it is a scourge upon our urban areas.
Order!
All right, everyone, sit down. Sit down. Be quiet.
So, Casey, what is your cone score after all that?
All right. I think we should give final remarks.
Oh, I thought that was your final remark.
Oh, no, sorry. That was just me putting the big, you know, gumption at the end of my last point before the prosecution rests.
Can I copy and paste that as your final remark?
Dang it. All right. Yes. All right.
Casey?
Alex, explain how final remarks work.
We will give some final remarks about our perspective on the sweet gum tree. Then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Casey, as our prosecutor, we'll begin with you.
I think that's very fair. Alex, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Ladies and gentlemen of our court, thank you for standing with us and being on the right side of history.
This episode is really just a long game, huh?
I'm having a wonderful time.
I am too. I'm just like, I'm realizing what it is now.
It's a long game.
At the end, I'm like, oh, okay.
I believe, Alex, that you can have positive attributes. The defense has presented that this tree grows well and is an ecologically important tree. The defense has noted that the wood is not outstanding, therefore it's good for everything where you don't need outstanding wood. Man, I need a pallet. We got a sweet gum for that. We have sprouts that come back, make it a regenerative tree. It's a medicinal tree that has properties that have been known for thousands of years across multiple different peoples. It's also a cosmopolitan tree of the Americas, which you don't find very often, growing from elsewhere to here and there and back again. And I think that these are all fine points to add and to remember about this tree. However, Alex, I think we should be careful not to have the wool pulled over our eyes and miss the underlying ferociousness with which this tree attacks everything around it. It is...
Sidewalks, you mean.
It destroys sidewalks. It is constantly raining down spiky balls that will destroy anything that walks on it that doesn't have a pair of shoes.
It's pretty cool.
It also... Quiet in the court.
Shit, sorry.
Oh my God. You looked away right when I did that, so you didn't know I was about to do it. So I actually did spook you. I'm sorry, Alex.
You think you're the judge now?
We only have so many roles to play. Finally, it is quite overplanted. It is a tree that shouldn't be planted as much as it is where there are other options that are available. Also, if we did cut into the bark and we started making more things from it in our modern trees, I give this a thumbs up. Changes the whole thing. But because we have not developed that industry, I think that we must put this on the 5.1 Golden Cones of Honor level.
All right.
We're going to give it another 0.5 because of the fall color.
5.6.
5.6 for the sweet gum tree. I apologize. I have given you this from my heart. As the resident defense.
Yes.
What do you think? Final remarks.
I think, you know, as you were describing all these negative things about the gumball, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I think it's kind of cool. And I know I might get hate for this. Like, it's a serious thing, you know? We have to fix those sidewalks, and people can't walk over them, and people with disabilities... I know people will have a problem with this benign statement, but I think it's kind of cool that they tear up the sidewalk. Hey, as a metal fan yourself, I'm surprised you don't love it more, Casey. I think it's pretty metal.
Very anti-establishment.
Yes! Yeah. Exactly. I think it is... You know, I, of course, like... Walking an elderly dog across a sidewalk covered in gumballs is not a great experience for anybody. But if I just look at that, you know, kind of not with that experience, I think it's pretty cool that it drops spiky, like the ends of morning stars, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of neat, actually, now that I think about it more.
Wow.
It's like so defensive. It's like chill. You don't need this.
You're cool.
it's like, you know, somebody came out with like a sword and they hit you with it and it's made of tin foil and you're like, oh, what is this even doing? But they're like really aggressive about it.
Very serious.
Yeah.
You spent a lot of energy on that.
Yeah. It's like finely crafted.
It's a really good description.
But you could just crumple it up into trash. So I'm going to give the sweet gum, and of course the sweet gum, the titular gum, I think is a great characteristic. I would love to get my hands on some authentic. I think it would probably tear my teeth out of their roots. Yeah. But there's ways to make it work. Plenty of people have. Yeah. So if anybody has any like packaged sweet gum that I can chew on, I'm interested. I could be that cool hipster that chews sweet gum.
Now that is what I'm talking about.
I give the sweet gum a very solid, well-deserved 7.5, right in the middle of that upper range.
Five.
I feel like I've been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's very fair. I think it's very fair. I think you are quite objective in how you approach these things.
Thank you.
Wow.
And that was our Odyssey review of the sweet gum.
I think that's what it comes down to. I'm going to let the listener decide if the sweet gum has gone off.
You know, I bet there will be a lot more gray people out there aren't like, this is a great tree or this is a terrible tree.
Okay.
Who I think that's the whole point of this thing.
It is.
To provide both perspectives.
As they say, your gumballs are your own.
That's right. Oh, yeah. And you call them gumballs. That's so much fun.
7.9.
Casey, it's time for our completely arbitrary Q&A. This week's question is from Anna Basile from the Patreon, Casey. Hey, speaking of the Patreon.
Speaking of.
We have some new mechanical changes in our organization here.
Yes, we do.
We are now taking our Q&A questions for the mainline episodes that you're listening to right now strictly from our Patreon.
That's right.
As a show of thanks to the people who support us. If you join the $3 Q&A, Quercus and Alder tier, you will be entered into, you can ask us questions and we will select one of your questions to use for the mainline episodes.
Exactly. And if we don't, then we will include questions and answers to those questions every month or two as they come through. So we'll make sure that everyone's questions gets answered at some point. And specifically, if you go sign up for that $3 level, we might answer it right here on there.
That's right. And that's what we're doing right now with Anna's question. Hi, Anna. Anna says hi. Avid listener to the podcast. Thanks, Anna. I've got a question regarding trees. Hey, you came to the right place.
Came to the right place, Anna.
So to preface this question, I feel it's necessary to say that I grew up in the Sand Hills region of North Carolina.
Okay.
Keith, are you familiar?
I am, yes.
And there's a crap load of pine trees.
Right.
The town I'm from is literally named Pinehurst. And this is not to say that I don't like pine trees, but man, I loathed the chore of raking pine needles as a kid. Oh my God.
It's so pokey, Alex.
Ridiculous task. Sounds like it. Regardless, I was always fascinated about needles versus leaves and wondering if you could explain the process of needles changing color with the seasons versus leaves and if there's any difference at all. Side note, I listened to the Sassafras episode recently and just wanted to say how nostalgic that was for me because my friends and I would dig them up like maniacs and eat the roots thinking it would taste like root beer. It tasted like dirt. Okay, sorry for this novel. That's quite all right. Love your podcast so much. Thank you for existing. Anna, thank you for existing and thank you for the question.
Wow.
Casey.
Yes, Alex.
I know a little bit about the changing of the leaves.
Okay.
Can I tell you what I know and then we can go from there?
Yeah.
When we perceive leaves changing,
yeah,
the tree is taking nutrients from the leaves, storing them for the winter to be used the following spring to make new leaves.
Yes.
So when it takes the chlorophyll out of the leaf, that pigment gets removed. What we usually see as green is now reflected as yellow, brown, etc.
Yeah, exactly.
Red.
With all those other pigments that are in the leaf still.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
That's it. That's a great, that's a perfect thing. Now, the big thing that has been more recently debated is if that is a, if those are always there, if there's always these pigments, they're just kind of overshadowed or covered up by the chlorophyll, then you take the chlorophyll away and they're left over. Or if the leaf is actively producing the new ones to take place of the old ones because it's there's different light conditions, and so they would be more advantageous to get just a little bit and a little bit of energy from the sun as it's waning, you know, over time.
Interesting.
So the jury's still out on figuring out 100% where that is. At least the last time I looked, which was, I think, last year, because we usually get a question about fall color every autumn, essentially. Right.
Every 12 months or so.
Yeah, every now and then. But the big thing that I also loved about this question, first off, Alex, you answered it. That's perfect. That's exactly it.
Oh, well, that's half of an answer.
Well,
we're talking needles, though, Case.
Exactly. So this is the other half. A needle is a leaf.
Done. Yes.
They are just a different kind of leaf. So we would generally describe a leaf as the organ that is directly above a bud. So it sets, directly below. So trees growing out, it grows a new leaf and then it sets a bud. And the leaf is always that thing that comes from underneath the bud. That's how we make that definition. So on conifers, if you look, there are little tiny buds that are almost so small that you can't even see them on like electron microscopes. They've almost been completely evolved away.
Whoa.
But they were technically there at some point.
So is the process essentially the same between needles changing color?
Yeah.
Okay.
It pretty much is. Now, there's two distinctions we should make. The first being a lot of the pines Anna is talking about, those are old needles that have died and fallen off the older The older sections of the evergreen trees.
Sure, okay.
So it's not so much a senescence where it goes through all these fall colors and changes.
Right.
This is more like they essentially, every X amount of years, conifers will drop their needles.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pines will keep them for maybe 3 to 5 to 6 years. And then they always keep this running total of the most recent six. So then when year 7 comes, there's a new set of growth that happens. And then the very oldest one, all those needles will fall away.
The needles that are closest to the trunk, they kind of grow, they kind of are pushed inward as the new growth comes out.
Well, they should stay exactly the same. Then the new growth continues to grow further out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So, but you're exactly right. Those oldest ones closest to the stem that fall.
Oh, so a really old, this is sort of a side tangent, but a really old conifer, you know, will have like, its limb will be like mostly just wood, like
yes.
woody limb.
Uh-huh.
And then most of its growth, that's 6 years of growth,
yeah.
sort of toward the end of that limb.
That will have all the needles on it.
Wow. Correct. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So the whole, if you're an artist trying to draw one of these things, that's a good thing to think about is like.
Totally.
There, it'll be mostly limb.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, most of those have other little shoots that are growing a little bit slower, a little bit longer. Then there's also side branches that come out. So it looks like one big cohesive canopy.
Oh, sure.
And this also happens with a lot of non-evergreen trees. Whenever they put their new leaves on, it's always those most recent buds, those most recent shoots that usually have the leaves on them.
Mm.
Sometimes the older twigs will have a little bit, but for the most part, it's always going to be on that very outer edge. Everything on the inside doesn't necessarily need to be there. It's not making a whole lot of energy because it's kind of shaded below the rest of the canopy. There are exceptions like the beech tree and some oaks, but for the most part, yeah, it's going to be that outer section.
Cool.
So the other thing, though, is there are some conifers that have needle-like leaves. The larch is a great example.
Mm.
The larch will drop its needles and regrow them the same exact way. It is the same exact process where it is the tree actively sucking some things in to use later, and then the colors change because now you have different pigments reflecting different wavelengths of light back to your eyeball.
Don Redwoods, same thing.
Perfect example, Alex. Thank you.
A few others, I'm sure.
So that's it. So to answer your question in a very succinct fashion, needles are leaves. Leaves are either broad or needle-like or anything in between, and the process of them changing is as Alex explained earlier. They simply are doing a changing of the guard before they release whatever is left in the leaf because they don't need it.
But the needle-like leaves that Anna raked as a child,
yeah.
probably just dead needles falling off of these pine trees.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much for your question, Anna. If you have a question about trees, hey, Casey, this is my first time saying this. Join the Patreon.
Wow.
Speaking of the Patreon, if you'd like to support this podcast at a bunch of different tiers, we have something that'll work for you if you wish to support us. Of course, we always appreciate your support in just listening.
That's exactly right.
And sending us nice emails. Casey Clapp.
Alex Krosen.
Thanks for this chat today.
Hey, you as well. Well done.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we can, you know, when everybody has left the courtroom,
yeah,
we can put our Bibles down.
Mm-hmm.
We can wipe our sweaty brows.
That's right.
We can shake hands with that same sweaty hand.
Yep.
And say,
see you next week.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Krosen and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.